The Senate has voted to repeal a 10-year ban on the development of low-yield nuclear weapons. The term low-yield here is relative. It refers to any weapon less than 5 kilotons. The bomb dropped on Hiroshima was about 15 kilotons. The Defense Department would like to study mini-nukes, as they're called, to see if they might be useful for destroying underground bunkers, which are sometimes protected by dozens or even hundreds of feet of rock. Yesterday, senators spoke passionately for and against the ban, but some weapons scientists and physicists who watched the debate say neither side got the science right. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Michael Levy watched the debate on C-SPAN but had to turn it off in frustration. Levy is a physicist and a fellow at the Brookings Institution. Like any self-respecting analyst, he started to write an editorial to set the record straight.
Maybe half an hour later, I just got too frustrated with it and I abandoned even that.
The general plan for these weapons would be to mount a small nuclear device on the back of a penetrating missile, often shaped like a large nail, and fire it at a buried target. Some senators argued that it would be impossible to get a nuclear weapon far enough underground to do any good. Levy says that's not really true.
When a nuclear weapon explodes underground, most of its shockwave reflects off the surface of the Earth and back down into the ground. So if you've got a weapon that can penetrate even a small amount into the Earth, you get substantially more explosive power delivered to the area underground.
A 2001 Department of Defense report estimated there were over 10,000 underground facilities worldwide. On Tuesday, General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said a mini-nuke could be better than conventional weapons for destroying underground chemical or biological weapons facilities. Michael May has just co-authored a report on this topic and says that's partially correct. He's a physicist at Stanford University and a former director of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory.
The key advantage is that they have a larger radius of volume of destruction, and both heat and radioactivity will destroy or deactivate both bioorganisms and chemicals.
But, May says, if the weapon is a bit off target, it could scatter, say, a store of anthrax spores without killing them. Then you'd have casualties from the very thing you're trying to destroy and casualties from the nuke. And that's the other limitation, he says. You wouldn't want to use one of these in a city.
You're going to be killing everyone within many blocks, just from the blast.
The blast would be better contained if scientists could find a way to drill the nuclear weapon deeper into the ground. Bob Purifoy is a former vice president of Sandia National Laboratory and once helped design a penetrator. He says even using the strongest metals, it's hard to get much deeper than about 50 feet in rock.
Because rock is hard. Why don't you stick your fist through the wall in your office? Well, I don't think you can do it. You are trying to move hard to compress material out of the way.
Researchers have toyed with the idea of making something called a pilot hole, that is, firing one penetrator to blast an initial hole, then firing a second one down that hole to go deeper. But Purifoy says you'd have to hit the same spot to within a foot.
I'm skeptical. You can continue to make incremental improvements in depth of penetration if you commit several weapons to the same exact same target, but you're not going to bore to the center of the Earth.
Observers say a final fact that seemed lost in the Senate yesterday was that lifting the ban is largely symbolic. In the near term, it will only allow the defense labs to begin research that could lead to developing such a weapon. And it would be a relatively small effort funded under something called the Advanced Concepts Initiative. The budget for that entire program is slated at $6 million next year. The annual spending for all the other nuclear weapons work these days is around $6 billion. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.